Chapter 24. Bobby. The bar was worse than shitty. Shitty had character. The place was generic. Fake stone meant to echo a tunnel on Ceres or Pallas, marked with graffiti to make it look edgy until you noticed that the pattern of it repeated every couple meters. The appearance of counterculture as churned out by a corporate designer. The food wasn't bad. Vat-grown ribs in a hot marinade and vegetable kibble that hadn't been cooked to a mush. The beer was decent, if a little hoppy for her taste. A screen at the back usually played highlights from football games around the system. Now it was playing a news feed. And while most of the time the screen was a background for the conversations and drinking, today everyone was watching it. The event mirrors the one experienced when the Tempest was forced to employ its magnetic field generator against separatist forces on Pallas Station, the woman on the screen said. She was pale-skinned, with long, dark hair and a serious expression. Bobby thought the broadcast was out of Luna, but it could as easily have been Ceres or Mars. They all looked the same these days. But while the previous effect had a clear trigger and was restricted to Sol System, the few ships that have made the transit into Sol since the event report that this was much more widespread, possibly affecting all known systems. The loss of Medina Station and the Typhoon, along with all civilian ships in the ring space, is assumed to be related, but no official report has been released at this time to confirm that. Casper made a low sound, something between a cough and a chuckle. Jillian, across from him, lifted her chin as a question.
"More critical than their pet journalists usually are," Casper said.
"You can still see the censor's arm up her ass working her lips," Jillian said. "If we had a free press, they'd be tearing these bastards 8 new assholes an hour until we got an explanation."
An old man in a collarless shirt appeared on the screen with the dark-haired newsfeed host. He was smiling as anxiously as if the camera were mugging him. There was a chyron identifying him and his credentials, but the screen was too far away and the print too small for Bobby to make them out, except she thought his first name was Robert. She leaned forward, trying to hear better. "What can you tell us about these events, Professor?" the host asked.
"Well, yes, yes. The first thing, of course, is that it's a mistake to use the plural, yes? Events, plural. What we're seeing is better understood as a single, non-local event, which fits with everything we've learned about the, I don't like to say, alien life. Too many presumptions. Call it the previous tenants and their enemies." The old man's smile grew a little warmer, amused by his own joke. Bobby thanked the good angels that she'd never taken a university course from him. Jillian sneered.
"They just lost one of their battleships, the central traffic control for the ring gates, a shitload of ships, and 2 whole fucking gates, and they want to talk about the limits of locality?"
She pointed at the screen with a pale bone that had recently been wrapped in rib meat.
"These people are idiots."
Casper shrugged.
"We just lost the underground coordination from Medina, and we're having beer and barbecue."
"We're idiots, too," Jillian said.
"You are, anyway," Casper said, but he smiled when he said it. The announcement that the Sol Gate was closed for business until further notice had been bad. No one on her crew had said anything to her directly, but they hadn't had to. No ships in or out of the system didn't make the shell game impossible. They might still be able to escape, sneak off Callisto and find a transport union ship to hide in. But even if they did, that ship wouldn't be going anywhere until the quarantine was lifted. Any hope of slipping out to a different system, hiding on some undeveloped moon until the attack in Sol System blew over, was lost. Instead, they'd be trying to hide from the tiger without leaving its cage. Then, things got worse. Bobby was asleep when it happened. It had been getting harder and harder to get any rest. She'd pull herself onto her cot in what had been a warehouse office, kill the lights, and her mind would launch into scenarios of escape or capture or violence, running through every combination of circumstances she could invent. She felt lucky to get 5 full hours in a cycle, so when she woke up groggy and confused, she thought it was just exhaustion finally catching up. It wasn't until her hand terminal chirped to let her know that everyone from her crew to the Callistan Emergency Service to the top news feeds in the system had been trying to get her attention that she understood something deeper had happened.
"The important thing to understand," the old man said, looking into the camera like he was everyone's kind uncle, "is that while these incidents can be very upsetting, and certainly they have caused some accidents when people were in the middle of sensitive or dangerous activities when they came, they pose no real threat in and of themselves."
"Can you explain that?" the host asked.
"These spells have not been shown to have any long-term effects. There is no indication that they are more than an inconvenience, really. It's important, of course, to keep in mind they may happen, at least until the science directorate understands the cause and, control of them. Until then, we should all make sure fail-safes are engaged on our vehicles and equipment. But that's good advice in any case, yes?"
Casper roughened his voice, mimicking the old man.
"And don't concern yourself with the fact that it destroyed gates and battleships. Oh, my, no. Don't worry your pretty little heads about that."
"Where's Alex?" Bobby asked.
"He was heading home last time I saw him," Jillian said.
Home meant the gathering storm. The window for their escape was coming soon. That might have been the reason he'd gone to the ship. Or he might have been avoiding her. She'd pushed him harder than usual last time they'd talked, and she knew he avoided conflict when he could. She'd never have said it aloud, but she wished Amos or Naomi were still with them, or even Holden. She was always a little worried that she'd break Alex without meaning to.
"I'm out," she said, then left the shitty bar and the Laconian propaganda channel behind. Everyone else stayed behind to finish their beer and gossip. They could sense she wasn't looking for company.
She walked through the public corridors of the station, her hands deep in her pockets, her eye on the floor ahead of her. Between her physical size and training almost from the cradle to control the space she occupied, it wasn't easy for her to back down and look unremarkable. But it was important. They'd already been on Callisto longer than she liked, and she saw that the crew was getting used to it. They were developing favorite shitty bars. Favorite brothels, barbers, and coffee shops, and pachinko parlors. It was normal to fit in after a while. Normal to make a life wherever you found yourself. But it was dangerous for them, because it was also how you became known, and being known too well meant they were all in prison or the pens or the grave. At the turnoff, she used her hand terminal to unlock the service passage and ducked down into the infrastructure of the shipyard. It was a long walk through poorly heated hallways to the old OPA smuggler's den. Her footsteps echoed, along with the unsteady drip of condensate and the hum of the air recyclers. The graffiti on the walls here was ancient, much of it written in Belter Creole or cipher. What little she could make out was wishing ill on the UN and the MCR. The hatreds of the past seemed almost quaint now. Just being authentic made it better than Laconia. "What are my victories? Will I leave the universe a better place than I found it?" When she was a girl, she thought she understood what the future would be. Improvement. Progress. She expected to serve her nation, protect the terraforming effort from the resentful Earth and the feral belt. She knew from the time she could speak that she wouldn't live to see humanity walking freely on the surface of Mars, but she believed she would die on a world with the spreading green of engineered moss and the aurora of magnetosphere. The life she'd actually lived was unrecognizably different from the dream she'd had. more astounding, and more disappointing. And her sense of having a place in it was gone. She had her role, first on the Rocinante, now on the Storm. She had her people and her duty. It was Mars that had changed and darkened. It had metastasized into an empire and a grand project she wanted no part of. She still had decades in her, if she kept her treatments and exercise regimen up. The universe she died in might still be better than the one she lived in now, but she had a hard time believing it would be better than the one she'd been born into. Too much had been lost, and what wasn't lost was changed beyond her ability to understand it. Her hand terminal chimed, a message from Jillian, still back at the bar. Bobby looked at it with distrust. Jillian was a smart woman and a good fighter. Another couple decades of life might eventually convince her to build up her team instead of undermining them. The way she felt at the moment, Bobby wasn't sure she was in the mood to hear whatever Jillian was about to say. But she was captain, and Jillian was her XO. She thumbed the connection open. The recording had a tag that read, "Thought you'd want to see this." Bobby started playing it. The screen from the bar jumped to life. The refresh rate of the image there and the recording made a moiré pattern over the newsfeed host's face, but not so badly that Bobby couldn't make her out, or the man in the window beside her. The old man was gone, and a familiar face had replaced him. Admiral Anton Trejo of the Tempest, de facto governor of Sol System. Bobby stopped walking. "Planned for months," Trejo said. "So your return to Laconia isn't related to the events in the ring space?" the host asked. "Not at all," Trejo said with a smile. He was about 1,000 times better at lying than the host. "But I see how people would come to that conclusion. What happened with Medina was a tragedy, and I mourn the loss of life as deeply as anyone. But I've been assured by the Science Directorate and the High Council himself that the situation is under control. I'm just an old sailor heading for his next post. Nothing more dramatic than that. Vice Admiral Hogan is a good man and ready to take command. I have absolute faith in him." A third window opened on the screen, pushing Trejo and the host a little smaller and more masked by the interference. Vice Admiral Hogan was a serious-faced young man in Laconian blue. He could have been Casper's older brother. "Well, speaking for the citizens of Sol System, I'd like to thank you for..." The recording ended. Bobby typed up a response with one thumb. "That's interesting." She leaned against the wall. Trejo was leaving Sol System. Maybe was already on his way. A new officer, a Laconian officer, not an MCRN veteran, was taking command of the Tempest. It might have been enough to convince her, if she hadn't already decided. The Storm sat on a mobile landing platform wide enough to fit three more like her. The platform's treads were taller than Bobby and designed to roll it through the massive cavern it was hiding in. Half a click into the darkness, the passage angled up to a concealed hangar on the moon's surface. For the moment, the ship stood as tall as a tower in its gantry crane, the drive cones almost resting on the platform, and the top of the ship lost in the shadows above her. She made her way up the crane to the airlock, climbing the metal ladder hand over hand rather than calling the powered lift. When the airlock cycled open and she stepped in, she disconnected her hand terminal from the Callisto system before she synced up with the Storm. It wasn't likely that a dual connection would give them away, but it wasn't impossible, and every unnecessary risk was unnecessary. The ship told her Alex was in the machine shop, and that four of her crew besides him were in various parts of the ship. All that mattered to her at the moment was that Alex was alone. This wasn't a conversation she needed the others to hear. Not yet, anyway. The machine shop looked less like the manufacturing workshop that the Rosinante had, and more like a showroom or a spa. The cabinets were set into gently curving walls, the seams too fine to see. The light came from the walls themselves, the skin of the ship glowing softly and uniformly to make the space gentle and shadowless. Alex stood at one of the benches with a manufacturing printer that looked like it had been grown from a seed more than built. He was thinner about the middle than he'd been when he was married. What was left of his hair had gone white, and a stubble of pale whiskers marked his dark cheeks. He reminded her of the man who'd run the ice cream shop by her school when she'd been a child. He looked up at her and nodded, and the memory faded. He was only Alex again. "Something broken?" she asked, and pointed to the printer with her chin.
"The center brace on my crash couch was showing some wear. I broke down the old piece and am printing up a replacement," he said. "What brings you back to the ship?"
"I was looking for you," she said. "We need to have a conversation."
"I thought we might."
"The things you said before, about why I was reaching for something, you may have been right."
"Thank you."
"But you aren't now," she said. "The situation's changed on us. The calculus shifted when they closed the gates."
"There are still transport union ships we could meet with. The gates will open at some point. I mean, they can't keep them closed forever. I don't care what happened out there.
But until they do, we're stuck in Sol System. But that's not the big point. They lost the typhoon. They only had 3 of these monsters. The Heart of the Tempest controlling Sol System, because that's the place with the power and the resources. The population.
The history," Alex said. "It has the story of a time when Laconia wasn't in charge."
"That too," Bobby said. "The Eye of the Typhoon to control the gates. The Voice of the Whirlwind back in Laconia protecting their home system. Now they're down one because of whatever this disaster was. And they're scrambling. Trejo's been called back to Laconia. No one's in control of the ring space. Everything I said before about showing people that the fight is winnable is still true. And if it works, we'll be taking their fleet down to a single battleship. Maybe they'll keep it in Laconia. Maybe they'll take it to the ring space if they think whatever that was won't happen again. They won't bring it here. Sol System will get a lot easier for the underground to navigate. It's still the most important system, and we can go a long way toward taking it back. It's not just a symbolic win anymore. It's tactical and strategic, too. I can't let the opportunity go."
"I hear what you're saying," Alex said.
The printer ticked to itself for a few seconds. "I know you have reservations," Bobby said. "I respect them. Seriously."
"No, it's not that," Alex began.
I don't want you in on this if you aren't certain. No, listen to me. It's a long shot. The Tempest is the deadliest machine humans have ever built. We both know what it stood up to in the war. Even if we do manage to deliver the package, I don't know for certain that the antimatter will be enough to kill it. You have a kid, and before long he's probably going to have a kid. Holden's gone, Amos is gone, Naomi's doing her hermit thing. The Rosie's mothballed. And if this doesn't work, the storm's gone too. If you want out, that's not a wrong thing."
"If I want out?
If you want to retire. We can get you a fresh name, or do more background for the one you've got. Set you up in a job on Ceres, or Ganymede, or here, whatever.
You could actually get to know Kit and his wife. No one will think less of you for wanting that."
"I might," Alex said.
"I need you 100% or nothing." Alex scratched his chin. The printer chimed that its run was finished, but Alex didn't open it to take out the new brace.
"You're speaking as the captain of this ship," he said. "You actually pronounce things a little differently when you're being in charge. You know that? It's subtle, but it's there. Anyway, as the captain,
I know what you're saying, and I know why you're saying it. But as my friend, I need a favor from you. No favors, no compromises. Either you're in or you're out, popped to her lips. What do you need? She asked. Run it by Naomi. If she says it's the wrong thing, listen to her. Hear her out. Bobby felt herself pushing back against the idea. The old fight was like a knot in her gut, hard as stone. But if she agrees? Alex squared his shoulders, lowered his center of gravity, and smiled amiably. No one else on the ship would have recognized the imitation of Amos, but she did. Then we go fuck some motherfuckers permanently up, he said.